God is calling us closer. He's calling us nearer. He's calling us deeper. He's calling us to a better level of trust. A deeper level of trust. A real level of trust with Him. Even the songs we sang this morning, and I chose them specifically, Jesus, be the center of it all. Jesus, come and take control. Be the center. I'm going to speak quite gently this morning. At least I'm going to try, because I've been battling with a bit of throat infection trying to establish itself. So just say, can you all hear? Is it fine there? So Jesus is calling us closer. The Lord is calling us closer. He's saying, trust me, I care for you. And the phenomenal move of the Spirit here this morning. God is great. Amen. Can we give Him honor? Can we give Him more praise? Praise the Lord. We love you, Lord. And that is exactly what we need. We need more of Him in our lives. We need Him to be established and rooted and grounded. Our lives need to be grounded in Him, but we need Him to be rooted in us. We need our lives to be built on the rock. So the rock where the storms of life can come and the house of our lives doesn't get just blown and destroyed. We will stand through every circumstance. So this morning, I'm speaking, and you can hardly see it, but it says there, the cry for revival. I didn't think it would come through that. And what has that got to do with what we've read this morning already? I think as the message goes on, you'll understand it, you'll see it. So, you know, I've been speaking about revival for a while now. We had the fire conference, we had Pentecost. We've been seeking the Lord's face. I encouraged you in the 50 days preceding Pentecost to spend an extra 15 minutes, in the Lord's presence. What was that about? It was about looking for God, seeking His face, looking to draw near to God. And people took it seriously. Other people during the fire conference, and it wasn't well attended during the week. But those that came, they received a touch from God. And a number of people received the same kind of touch from God. So God was saying, I'm busy working in your midst. I'm busy doing things in your midst. Some people received healing. Chukia, can I just ask you, I see there's a mom in the mother's room. Is it on there? Oh, thank you. Okay. Sorry, I got distracted. I saw her walking there. People were touched during the fire conference. They received a fresh touch of the Holy Spirit. They received an encouragement in their lives. God just, a number of people said they felt God, that the presence of the Lord just come upon their lives, and the tingling right from top to toe. And that was God's presence. And I was concerned about it because as the weeks have been passing, I felt, are we losing it? Are we starting to slip away from what God has started to do in our lives? You know, we don't want to just ride one wave of the Lord's Spirit and then we fall off the back of it and that wave's gone and now we've got to wait for the next one. We want to remain on the wave. We want to carry on riding that wave right into shore, the wave of the move of God's Spirit. Do you want that? Amen. And I even look at, I know we've got a lot of people sick and we've got a number of people away on holiday. But if I just even think of our attendance of church, does it speak about a real heart's desire for God? I know church isn't everything, but church is important. It's important to who we are as believers. I look at our prayer meetings, and I've been saying it for a while now. On Friday night, we had a sum total of seven, once the youth had left, seven people in prayer meeting. And I thought, are we really hungering and thirsting after the Lord? And that's a couple of weeks, 2 weeks ago, I preached about being hungry for God. It will be a terrible loss for us to allow that new fire, that new zeal that came when we spent time drawing near to God at Pentecost, to allow it to just fizzle out and die. We need to go from, Jensen Franklin was preaching about marriage and he titled his message From Fizzle to Sizzle. We need to go back from fizzle to sizzle. We need to start burning brightly for the Lord once again. It's not just us that's wanting that. I went to the Mukhali for Christ Working Committee meeting 2 weeks ago, and Yanni Pulser was talking about reinventing Mukhali for Christ. And so what we decided is the next week, it's always the Working Committee, and the next Tuesday is the breakfast where the pastors and the workers in town come. And we decided that morning's meeting, instead of doing what we normally do, we would set aside the normal agenda and we'd have a message and an extended time of worship. And when the pastor stood up, he stood up and he spoke about revival. And that's what we're wanting. We need to reinvent. I don't think we need to reinvent the church. I don't think we need to reinvent Christianity. We need to come back to what Christianity really is. What it was meant to be. What did the church in Acts experience? What did Jesus intend when he planted the church just over 2,000 years ago? On Wednesday this week, Cheryl sent me a message that had been written with somebody with a prophetic anointing by email. He has a short extract. I also saw a desperation hitting the body of Christ in June 2016, a mounting desire to constrain the Lord and see His hand move throughout the earth as never before. I heard the word pressing. I saw corporate gatherings where they set aside man's agenda to seek after the Lord afresh. Pressing in deeper to move in the glory. Humbly seeking what God wants to do. Setting aside human plans and purposes. That speaks about a hunger for God. A hunger for revival. A cry for revival. So this morning I want to speak to us about that. And if I'm starting to sound like a broken record, well then I'm not apologetic for that. People say I'm going to stop apologizing. I'm not sorry. Because I'm going to preach it until it takes root in our lives. Because until there's lasting change, and I've been praying about this morning service, there needs to be lasting change that takes place this morning in our lives. We cannot go out here and 20 minutes later we've forgotten and you greet us at the door and say, lovely service, Pastor, but it's gone. By tonight our lives are the same as they were right now before we've heard the message. We can't carry on like that, church. We can't. I remember early in the beginning of the year, I started saying, you know what, we got the Lord's presence, we got lovely praise and worship, we got a lot of what we need. But we're not going forward. Unless something changes, unless we stop doing what we were doing, nothing is going to change. And so this morning I trust and I pray that it's going to become a day of change. Amen. So you can sit back and you can go to sleep, or you can sit up and take note this morning. It's your choice. But if you want to change, then I suggest you listen. What is God's... I want to discuss four things this morning. The first is, what is most important in our lives? Secondly, can we say that we've been in the Lord's presence? These are tough questions. Thirdly, are our hearts right for revival? Are we ready for revival? And fourthly, are we ready to press in for revival? A lot of the encouragement this morning said, are you willing to trust me? Are you willing to look to me even though it's going tough? Are you willing to look for me even though you can see things are going wrong? Are you willing to look for me? This week I sent out a picture of the Durban Worship Center where the building burnt down. A beautiful big building where people would go and receive a touch from the Lord. Can you imagine if this building burnt down? And I saw pictures on the internet. The next day, they had an impromptu prayer meeting in the street outside. They were praising and worshipping the Lord. And then on Friday night, when we had seven people here, there was a gathering, I don't know, hundreds of people in the street outside their burnt down worship center. We can get seven. They've got no worship center anymore. But they could get a crowd of people to come and seek God and pray. People have been getting murdered in Krugersdorp. I know they've caught the people. But are we willing to get together and pray? No, we aren't. Let's be honest. What's wrong? And that's what I'm going to address this morning. This was written about a man who by the name of Gypsy Smith. He was a preacher and he was successful in preaching revivals. This is what it says. Due to a report of successful revivals by Gypsy Smith, a certain preacher approached the noted evangelist to ascertain the secret of his success. He was asked to explain the best method to start a revival. The answer was, and church, listen to this, brother, go back home, lock yourself in a private room, take a piece of chalk and mark a circle on the floor. Get down on your knees inside the circle and pray that God will start a revival inside the circle. Did you get that? It's about us. When this prayer is answered, the revival will be on. So what we need to do is we need to go and find a secret place and spend time there and say, Lord, will you change the person that's here with you today? Will you bring about a change? Will you bring about a change and a revival in the life of the person that's standing here praying before you today? We want to pray. We'll say, Lord, change that church. Change that pastor. Change the people that go there. God says, no, I want to change you. I'm sorry, I'm shouting. He wants to change us on a personal level. I'm sure those of you that battled here heard that. Let me ask you today, has revival come to the temple that is your life? Or is it being experienced in all the other temples around you but not yours? We sang those songs, Jesus at the center, deliberately. John the Baptist was a powerful and influential person in his day. He walked. He was well respected. The people would stand up and listen. Yet he knew something that was a key that we can learn from this morning. He knew that Jesus was more important. John prepared the way, but Jesus was the Messiah. He was the way. Without Jesus, we got nothing. In John 3 verse 30, it said, I must decrease and he must increase. In the New Living Translation, it says this. He must become greater and greater. And I must become less and less. Church, has that been the cry of our hearts? Ask yourself this question. Have I been asking Jesus to become more in my life? When last did I pray that? When last was he more in my life? More important than my agenda. More important than my plans. More important than my cell phone. And my television programs. And my work. And my family. Let's hit on the things that we find important to us. What's more important to you than your family? Jesus should be. What's more important than your workplace? Jesus should be. Amen? Is he? We get lost in the importance of who we are and what we do and what is on our agenda. We get lost in our plans, in our dreams, and our goals. We forget about who is supposed to be the center. So I want to ask you this question today, and I want to ask you to ask yourself this question. Is Jesus truly the center of my life? Church, as I preach it to you, I preach it to myself. Are we pursuing God's agenda or our own agenda? When last did we pray this? Lord, I pray that you will increase and help me to decrease. When did we do that? True revival will come when we get our priorities right. And church, I challenge us today. I don't challenge you, I challenge us. I would say this. I would offer up this statement. Our priorities are not right. Not one of our priorities. Maybe one or two. But in general, our priorities are not right. I can tell you that. Just turn to the person next to you and say, enough. Because it's tough to face the truth, isn't it? Secondly, so the first point is Jesus needs to be at the center. Secondly, we need to spend more time in his presence. I've been reading the book of Jeremiah, and I've been there for a while now, and I'm still going to be there for a while because I read 3 or 4 chapters a day. And there's 60-odd-something books in Jeremiah, in about 30-something. So you can hear about this for a while. But Jeremiah was the weeping prophet. They beat him up. They treated him badly. He told the truth. God said, I'm going to send judgment. Jerusalem will be conquered. Nebuchadnezzar is at the door. And Jeremiah preached it and they hated it. But time and again, I find it where he's written. But if my people will turn back to me, I will restore them. But that's not what I picked up about Jeremiah. Jeremiah was speaking out against the false prophets. In Jeremiah 12, verse 17 to 18, and these words hit me between the eyes. He said this. 23, verse 17 to 18. They keep saying to those who despise my word, "Don't worry, the Lord says you will have peace." And to those who stubbornly follow their own desires, they say, "No harm will come your way." Church, even before I go any further, let me tell you this. This is what the church has become like. Don't worry, God's a gracious God. Don't worry, He won't punish your sins. Don't worry if you're involved in this or that kind of sin. God loves everybody. He's not going to send, He's a loving God. He's not going to send people to hell. Yes, He will. Yes, He sent His Son to die for us. And if we don't accept Jesus Christ, we will go to hell. Yes, if we continue a life full of sin, we are not a child of God. And we will hear, "Go away, I never knew you." When we carry on saying this, we're just like those prophets who said, "Don't worry, judgment won't come. Don't worry, God will overcome Nebuchadnezzar. He'll never defeat us." God says, "I judge the sin in the nation." And let me tell you, there's sin in this nation and in this city and in this church. It will be judged. Goes on verse 18 and says this. This is the portion that struck me so hard. Have any of these prophets, the prophets that were telling lies, been in the Lord's presence to hear what He is really saying? It's a New Living Translation. I like the way it says it. Has anybody been in the Lord's presence to hear what He's really saying? Has even one of them cared enough to listen? And church, even though He was speaking about the false prophets, it applies to you and I today. I want to ask us this question. Have any of us even bothered to go into the Lord's presence to hear what He will say? I can tell you right now, I made a decision this week, which I terribly regret. Okay? I thought I was doing the right thing. And I moved in my own strength. And I blew it. Did I go into the Lord's presence and ask Him what He wanted me to do? With hindsight, afterwards, I thought, well, if I'd done it that way, it would have been fine. But if I'd gone into God's presence, I would have known exactly what to do. And I wouldn't have blown it. So I challenge you this morning. I say, have you been going into God's presence to see what He would have done? When you react to a situation or respond to a situation, have you sought the Lord's face first? Have you considered that maybe the thing you're doing or the words you're saying are not in line with His word? Would He have reacted like that? Or would He not have reacted like that? We say we want revival, but we do things exactly as we please. Let's be real. We do. Sure, I'm going to have to cut myself down. Gaan julle terugkom volgende Sondag? But those words struck me. Have any of these prophets, have any of these Christians been in the Lord's presence to hear what He is really saying? Has even one of them cared enough to listen? And I want to tell you, we go into the Lord's presence. Do we actually care enough to listen to what He's telling us when we've been in His presence? Or do we come out and do just as we please any case? Those words, have they cared enough? Have we cared enough? Do we care enough about God? I want to ask you this question, church. Let me see. No, I want to ask you to stand up this morning. Do you want revival? If you want revival, stand up. If you want revival this morning, stand up. Say this with me. I want revival. I want revival. Let's cry it out. I want revival. Amen. You may have a seat. I want to ask another question. I was discussing this with Kirsty yesterday. I thought, well, should I or shouldn't I? Lord, can I come into Your presence quickly and ask Your permission to do this? I want you in your heart to stick up your hand. If you have spent a quality quiet time with Jesus every single day in the last week. I like that honesty. Somebody's done it. Okay. But I'm asking, if you spent a quality quiet time in the Lord's presence every day this week? Quality. I'm not talking about 5 minutes, quickly read the book, quickly praying, or praying in my car on the way to work. That is time that you got with the Lord. And I've done it myself. I've worked and said, I know what it's like to have a little bit of time. Sometimes you need to pray when you're driving. But I'm telling you now, you can't read the Word of God and study it and find out what God's saying to you when you're looking at the road in front of you. If you do, you're going to have an encounter with another car, not with God. Amen. Right. So I run out of time in the morning. I wake up and I don't have enough time. Do I come home and have time with the Lord? Would I go? I'll tell you, this is what I do. I come home and I'm fine. I go in a line and fall asleep in front of the television. That's what I do. Okay? There's some honesty for you. Do I spend enough time in the Lord's presence? In church, I'm the pastor. I have to spend time in the Lord's presence. Okay, I need to hear from Him. I need to hear His Word. I need to hear what He's saying to you, to me. But I'm challenging us. Do we spend enough time in the Lord's presence? Could we be bothered to spend enough time in the Lord's presence? We all want revival. And I want to challenge you and say, are you going to spend that time in the Lord's presence in the week that comes? Are you going to bother? Or are you going to be too busy with your work? Are you going to be too busy with your family? Mom's getting up making psalmies. We don't have that many school kids in this church. We need to ask the Lord to change that. It doesn't say much for our future. We need children in the church. But we confess it. We say, thank you, Lord, you're sending those families in with school children and teenagers and young families. The ladies are going to have babies still. We need it. But when we're so busy with everything else, are we willing to go the extra mile and say, well, I'll sleep half an hour less and I'll make sure I get up half an hour earlier and I'll first spend time in God's presence? Or are we just too busy for God? It's hard hitting, isn't it? I'm asking the questions we need to ask if we really and truly are crying out for revival. And then while we go into the Lord's presence, and let me tell you, I can tell you this, you know, every day we send out a daily encouragement, so I'll use my own life as an example. So I go in and I start reading the Word and I'm looking for what can I write for this encouragement? What can I write for this encouragement? Is that spending time to hear what God is trying to say to me for me? Or is that spending time to try and hear what God's saying to me for you? Because I need a personal relationship with Jesus. I'm giving it to you as an example. What are we doing in our quiet times? Is our cell phone in front of us? And every time we hear a little beep, are we picking it up and looking to see what the world is saying? Instead of pushing it aside and saying, no, this is my time with God. And I know that I'm pushing your buttons this morning because I know that you sit with your cell phone in your quiet time, some people. Otherwise, it wouldn't be in the message because God gave me the message for this morning. And He knows. I don't have to be in your quiet time with you. God is there. Amen. I know it's coming across rough, but it has to. It has to. Sometimes we need to scratch the scab away so the wound can bleed and the pus can come out and it can get clean and God can bring the proper healing that He wants. He can bring in the proper revival that He wants. What else distracts us in our quiet time? Does our mind go drifting elsewhere? Do we start thinking about the work we're supposed to be doing in the day instead of focusing on what God's saying to us? There's treasure He wants to give to us. He wants to speak to you and I personally. Are we going to allow Him to do it? And it means we're going to have to teach ourselves. Yvonne Godwin always used to say, it takes 21 days to develop a habit. In fact, it'll take 3 days. If I, for 3 days, can just focus on, well, where's my mind now? Let's bring it back online. Where's my mind? Oh, bring it back on track. It's 3 days, spend time in the Lord's presence. And by the fourth day, you won't have to battle so much. But if you do it for 21 days, it'll be a habit established for the rest of your life. When we come out from our time with God, and I want to challenge you with this church, for this week, and for the weeks that lay ahead, let this challenge be your challenge when you go into your quiet time. When you come out, have I got something from God? Has God spoken to me? Has He spoken to my heart? Have I picked up something in my quiet time? Or have I sat here and wasted that time? What has God said to me today? Watch how He transformed your life. Watch how He uses you to transform lives of people around you. Because He'll give you a word that you can give to somebody else. He'll show you somebody to go and pray for. He'll show you something you need to do to avoid trouble in your household. Watch if your life doesn't improve. sometimes God has to catch me in the bathroom. Because that's the only time He can find me being quiet and not busy with other stuff. It's sad, isn't it? Just being honest with you today. Does it make sense to you? I'm trying to be real. We can make it all frilly and pretty, but what's the point? Let's be real. The third point is, so the first one is, Jesus must be in the center. The second is, we need to spend time with the Lord. The third is, revival has to be an issue of the heart. Jeremiah 29, I told you I'm in Jeremiah, 29 verse 10 to verse 11. This is what the Lord says, not what Pastor Keith says, but the Lord says, you will be in Babylon for 70 years. Why do you think they went to Babylon in the first place? Because they decided that they knew better. God spoke to them, God spoke to them, God spoke to them over and 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 over. And they chose to go their own way. God said, okay, if that's the case, I'll let you go to Babylon. Maybe there you can learn to listen to my voice. That's exactly what happened. But He said, I will restore you. And in 70 years, that's a lifetime. Most people, if you live for 70 years, you've done well. If you live for more than that, well, you're in borrowed time. Amen? You're blessed. Okay? It was a whole generation. Landed up in Babylon. Sorry. For those of you that are borrowing. My apologies. God can bless you with extra years. Amen? And God does bless people. You will be in Babylon for 70 years. But then I will come and do for you all the good things I have promised. And I will bring you home again. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. Let me tell you this. I read earlier in Jeremiah. We love that scripture, to give you a future and a hope. Do you know that earlier in Jeremiah it says, I have plans not to do good and plans to bring disaster upon you. Did you know that? It actually says that. This is God reversing the curse. This scripture is God reversing the curse. But it took these people to have been in exile before they could hear that wonderful promise of God. I have got great plans for you. But they were in exile. We love using that scripture. Do we need to be in exile first before it can apply to our lives? Some of us are in exile. We need to come out. God says, yes, I will do it for you. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. I want to bring you out of exile. Church, He wants to bring us out of the deadness of the religion that we've been living in. He wants to bring us into a real thing where we can say, I trust you, God, according to the word that we had this morning. He wants to bring us out. But you see, there's a condition. If you are still in Jeremiah 29, go and read verse 12 and 13. In those days when you pray, I will listen. Awesome! We need God to hear our prayers. If you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me. It's not just about, oh, I'm just going to come and pray. God says, are you going to seek me with your whole heart? And that goes back to everything I've said before. When we come into the Lord's presence, are we actually bothering to hear the Lord? Are we actually bothering to spend the time with the Lord? Are we actually bothering to make Him the center of our lives? If you seek me, if you make me the center, then you will hear my voice. Then I can bless you. Then I will speak to you and show you what you need to know. Then you will look for me and you will find me. Church, are we willing? Are we willing to do it? Or are we going to walk out here this morning and say, that was a good message to challenge us. Maybe you'll say, no, it was a horrible message. It was full of judgment. I'm not too bothered about that, okay? It needs to touch our hearts. It needs to challenge our lives. We need to seek the Lord with our whole heart. There's another account I'd like to read here. It's about, where is the revival? During the revival, which some years ago swept through the land of Wales, and whose power that principality feels to this day. A friend of mine went down from London to take part in some of its services. They must have been at the turn of the century last year, in the 19th century, or in the early 1900s. He got out, sorry, I lost my track here. He got out at a country station and asked the policeman standing in the village square, "Where is the Welsh revival?" The policeman drew himself up to his full height, patted his chest, and he said, "The Welsh revival, sir, is under these buttons." Amen? That's where the revival needs to be. In that circle, where you're praying for the person in the circle, that's where the revival needs to be. The Welsh revival was in people's hearts. Yes, it was manifest when there was a corporate gathering, but it was lives that were changed. Lives that were changed. You'll hear in stories of revival, we can't just close us out. It stops because the people aren't interested in it anymore because God is busy working in their lives. That's what we want. That's what we need, church. I want to ask, what is under the buttons of your shirt this morning? Is there a heart that's on fire for Jesus? Or is there a heart that's cold and dark and crusted by numb to sin? Numb to a desire and a hunger for Jesus? We sit here on a Sunday morning and say, "Oh, he's preaching too long." It talks about a heart that's numb. If you really were on fire for Jesus, you'll say, "Preach it, brother. Carry on. We want more." But we've shortened our sermons. If it's more than 3/4 of an hour, I feel guilty. And you go to sleep. For some of you, it takes 5 minutes for you to go to sleep. It's the truth. We see it from up here. I'm being honest this morning. Why do you think I sometimes shout? Sometimes I shout to wake people up. All right. We're a family. Amen? We can say these things. We can say these things. Maybe I shouldn't be saying it, but it's the truth. In the Bible, a number of times, God says this. Matthew 6, 15 verse 8 says it too. "These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me." They say all the right things. They come to church. They go to cell group. They even come to prayer meeting. Shock and stun. Okay? But you know what the reality is? They say all the right things, but their lives are not right. When they face a difficult situation, the truth comes out. All the ugliness comes out. The unchanged heart comes out. They can be nasty. They strike out. They do the wrong things. Language that shouldn't come out comes out. They become hurtful. They become hurt. Okay? If God is in control of your heart, that stuff will run down your back like water off a duck's back. You'll be able to deal with difficulties. You'll be able to deal with offense. You'll be able to get up tomorrow morning and say, "I'm still serving God, regardless of the hypocrites in the church. And I'll still be in that church." Amen. So I'm preaching as I feel led here. Some of the words I asked the Lord to give me is unction. So I want to ask you this question. Am I really serving God? Or am I just being religious and doing what I do for my conscience sake? Are we serving God because we've got a heart's desire for Him? Or is it just our conscience that we're trying to appease? Am I seeking God with my whole heart? Or am I serving God and serving the Lord in a way that works for me, that's convenient for me? It's not so convenient coming out here on a Friday night. It's dark. But I'll tell you what, when you were younger, you used to be in the same church at youth, enjoying it. I remember, and it's something that stuck with me always, Tuesday nights, I think, used to be prayer meeting, when we were young Christians, young believers. We'd travel all the way from Fairlands. We didn't have much money. We had an old car that used to every now and get break down. But God took hold of our hearts, and we'd travel here. Sometimes Joshua was a baby. That was where he got his reputation for preaching downstairs in the chapel with an upside-down Bible. After the prayer meeting, he'd go and stand in front and he'd copy Pastor Pat. Praise the Lord, he's planted a seed in you, Josh. That prayer room was full. I remember it. I remember people all around. We'd sing. We'd praise God. We would pray. It was special, special times. Why can't we get back there? Why can't we have that anymore? Gonadeka, I think you can probably remember that too. It was in your early days in the church too. And some of the rest of us. We need to get back there, church. Why are we dead to pray? Why? Because our hearts are cold. Because it's not important enough for us. Let us ask ourselves some hard questions today and say, is my heart on fire for Jesus? How's my heart? Do I need to correct it? My final long point, and I've been preaching for a while, but it's only 20 past 10, so as far as I'm concerned, I've got another 3/4 of an hour.
Come on, say amen, preach it, brother.
I want to read the rest of that prophetic word. It kind of summarizes very nicely what I put into the sermon. And funny, I read it, but it wasn't what was on my mind when I prepared the message. So I believe this is God. My final challenge is that we need to pursue, we need to press in, and we need to go deep. We don't want something that's shallow. We want something that's deep. So I'm going to read it, okay? I sense the Lord saying, as my people seek my face, first with sincere, hungry hearts, I will surprise them with a visitation. Who would like a visitation from God? When I move, my people will become content with only me and will no longer desire anything less than the fullness of what I want to give them. I sense the Spirit imparting a deep desire to press in. I saw a renewed desire to pursue and press, to discover the depths of the plans of God. Are we willing to chase the depths of what God has got for us? What does it mean to press? What does it mean? They would use this word constrain, but it's not the way we understand. Constrain means to tie down, okay? What does it mean to constrain the Lord? When you hear the word constrain, sometimes you think of restraining or limiting someone's activity. But when I use the word constrain, I'm talking about tugging or pulling on someone. To constrain, to pull, or to press speaks of a heart attitude that desperately wants the closeness of God. Someone who's eager and excited to be His friend. I sense the Lord saying, I long to see a generation. Didn't the Lord say, I long for you this morning in the first prophetic word? He said, I long for you. Didn't He? I yearn for you. I long for you. It's the same word. I yearn to see a generation with a holy hunger to press in. They have a desire to constrain me, to come and dwell with me and never leave. In the Strong's Concordance, the word constrain is defined as to compel, to urge, and to press. This is not an ordinary request. It's a persistent, heartfelt yearning. And as a result, they press in and stay close, listening and able to hear the still small voice of the Spirit. It's a heart that pushes for a deeper level of fellowship that's not satisfied with a casual encounter in church. That is really what this message is all about this morning. I'm saying, are we willing to have a casual encounter, or are we willing to ask the Lord for an extended, a longer period, a lifelong period of being close to Him and knowing Him in a powerful way? Or are we happy to only have it on a Sunday, or maybe on a Wednesday, or maybe on a Friday night for the youth? We need God all the time. How many people do we know right now who want nothing more than a casual encounter with God? Church, I'm asking you this morning, are you happy with a casual encounter? Oh God, just come and bless me, they say. Oh God, just do something. But they're not compelling Him to come and stay close. I find that if we compel Him, if we're really hungry for Him, and if we press in, He will come and meet with us. I sense the Lord wooing His people to come close in June, as He has much to reveal in the days ahead, if we have ears to hear, waiting on Him. The problem is that we love our watches. And if the Lord doesn't come after 5 minutes, we give up and grow weary of waiting and then go on to the next activity. It's the truth, church. If we don't see results after an hour, we become discouraged. We need to ask the question, is it something that's so deep inside me I can't help but to call out to Him? Jesus, Son of David, come into my life and move by Your Spirit. Come by Your Spirit and talk to me. Come by Your Spirit and walk through my home. I want You 24/7, Jesus. Come and turn my life upside down. Is it just a prayer, something you say without a conviction? Or do you mean it with all your heart and all your guts? There's a gory word. All your guts. Because if it means everything to you and you don't give up in defeat, He will come and move into your life this June. But He wants to know that you really mean business. Do we mean business, church? When we stood up earlier on and said, I want revival, did we mean it? Or were we just saying it because that's what we say in church? Many say they want to press in, but once tested, the truth is it was mere lip service. Jesus, the sweet Master, is truly worth pursuing no matter what it takes. If you have to pursue and pray and fast for weeks or hours a day, then do it. Just do it. Press in. Constrain the Lord to come and manifest Himself to you this June. Resisting the temptation to give up before you see it happen. Don't squander another June, says the Lord. Press! I sense the Lord asking His church to sow seeds in June for the seasons to come. He's looking for a tenacity and a perseverance to press in and stay in the secret place. If you want more of God, don't take no for an answer, because He wants that kind of fellowship with you. More than you could even dream. Don't give up. Never give up. Pursue Him as if your life depends on it. For in these last days, it really does. In these last days, we need to press in. In these last days, we need to pursue God. In these last days, we need to not give up. In these last days, we cannot afford to have a casual relationship with the Lord. Amen? We can't afford to have a casual relationship. We need a real, living relationship with Him. And that was what I was concerned about. I was concerned that we'd lose the momentum that we've been building. If we lose the momentum, we're going back to a casual relationship. I don't want a casual relationship. Can I put it in disgusting words? I don't want a one-night stand or a one-day stand once a week with the Lord. I want a deep, lasting, covenantal relationship. Deeper than what I have with my wife. Amen. That's what we should be hungering after. So finally this morning, revival can be defined as a spiritual awakening. In revival, God's manifest presence is felt and experienced. Revival brings a profound awareness of His presence and a deep yearning to see the lost being brought back to God. Is there a true cry of revival in our hearts, or are we just saying we want it, but we're not willing to do what it takes to get it? This morning we've been challenged on four levels. The first is Jesus the most important in your life? Is He at the center? And I'm asking you, think about it. Is He really? Secondly, can we say we've really been in God's presence? Or are we doing something out of habit that really carries no depth? The kind of thing that will cause us to hear, "Go away from me, you work of iniquity, I never knew you." Thirdly, are our hearts right? Or do we desire revival with all of our hearts? And fourthly, are we willing to press in? Are we there, that word constrained? Are we willing to pull it closer to us to say, "Lord, I want you. Come, Lord Jesus. I'm not going to give up until I get a breakthrough." I think of Jacob and wrestling with the angel. Until he said, "I won't let go until you bless me." Church, are we willing to do those four things? Make Jesus the most important. Be in His presence for real. Have the right heart and press in. Or are we going to give lip service once again this Sunday morning and say we want revival? I want to challenge you this morning. This morning I'm going to ask you to stand up again. But this time, and I know that you meant it the last time, but this time I want you to stand up having heard this message and say, "I really want it." If you don't stand up. Don't be ashamed. Actually, I'm gonna take you out of the pressure off. I'm going to say, let's all stand up this morning. Standing up is just standing up. You're making no commitment to God. Let's just all stand up this morning. Now I want you to say, in the hidden place of your heart, so now you've got a choice. Nobody will see, nobody will know, only God. Say this in your heart, if this is what you really mean. "Lord, I really want revival. I do not want to be like the people of this age who offer you lip service but dishonor you with their hearts. I want the change that comes with revival. I want the transformation that comes with revival. Lord, I even am willing to share," we sang the words this morning, "to share in your pain, if that's what it takes, to be persecuted." Think about it. Just think about it for a moment. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Now that you've had time to think about it, I want you to make a decision. Like I say, if you feel, and we know, you feel in your heart you can't make a commitment like this, then don't. But if you feel you, in your heart you can make a commitment like this, that you're going to go home, you're going to make time to spend in the Lord's presence, bothering to spend time in His presence, bothering to see what He's got to say to you. If you're going to make the time to put Him at the center of your life, in front of your family, in front of your work, in front of your pursuits, even in front of your ministry, If you're willing to say, I'm going to do it with all of my heart, and I'm going to press in this time. I'm not going to press in now, and in a week's time, it's all gone again. Then I want you to pray with me this morning. I will pray. You can just pray it in your heart. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we come to you this morning. Father, we've been challenged. Father, you've challenged us to say, do you really mean it? Or are you offering lip service? Are you really desperate for me? Do you really want revival? Or are you just doing it out of religious practice, out of acceptance, out of because that's what Christians do? And Father, we want to come to you this morning and say, if there's anything that we know, that we know, that we know, that we know, is that we need a depth of a relationship with you, we need personal revival to come in our lives and in our hearts, we need a change, we need to come out of this casual thing, this thing of serving you on our own terms, this thing of serving you as and when it suits us, rather than as and when it suits you. Lord God, we need a transformation of heart, even in the way we speak and think, our attitudes towards our brothers and sisters, and our attitude towards you. We pray, Lord Jesus, forgive us. Father, forgive us where we've got it wrong. Father, forgive us for taking offense. Maybe even in this message we've taken offense. We let it go in Jesus' name. Forgive us, Lord God, for not letting your character and your light and your life be manifest in our lives. And we ask this morning for a new start. We pray, Lord God, let the revival start in our hearts. Say this with me, Lord Jesus, let revival start in my heart this morning. I cry out to you. I'm hungry for you. And I want it with all my heart. Help me, Lord, not to offer lip service, but to be sincere and to press through and to obtain that revival in Jesus' name. Amen.